It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
It is Memorial Day. It's a day when folks are taking off, but we're coming your way live today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. Same number to call as always, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or you can email me at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Since I was in town in the studio, I thought, well, let's just do the show live today. And I want to bring you some reflections, as it is Memorial Day, as it is a time when people pause and think of the sacrifice of our soldiers for our freedoms here in America. I want to give some reflections, some thoughts on what the scriptures talk about soldiers in terms of our calling to endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus the Messiah. Now, I want to make things perfectly clear because there's fanaticism, craziness, misinterpretation that's always out there. When people hear soldiers of the cross, you know, they we're going to take up arms, we're going to bomb the abortion clinics, we're going to blow up the homosexual. No. To be a soldier of Jesus means to follow in his footsteps. It means to sacrifice as he sacrificed. It means to give our lives for a cause. It never, ever means to take up the sword in the cause of Jesus. That's a completely unscriptural concept. Now, I say these things in particular because from time to time we get accused. We talk about Jesus' revolution, the call to bring a spiritual, moral, cultural revolution through the gospel, which is always meant through prayer, through sacrifice, through preaching the gospel, through living holy lives, through overcoming evil with good and hatred with love. But some people hear these words, they hear, you know, an old hymn like Onward Christian Soldier, and they think, oh no, what are they calling for? Hey look, as a Jew, I happen to be sensitive to these issues because of the horrors of the Crusades, and we're all sensitive to the fanaticism of Islamic suicide bombers and others like that, and to the fanaticism of someone who thinks I am going to be a pro-life person by killing someone who takes the lives of babies in the womb. How can you be pro-life and kill someone? So to be perfectly clear, we are talking about following in the footsteps of Jesus. But there's a lot to reflect on. Scripturally, Paul wrote to Timothy and said to him, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. I'm speaking to some of you that served in the armed forces. My late father served in the Korean War. We didn't do a lot of talk about war, and he was not in frontline combat. He got injured early on in an accident while over there. And then ended up learning to help out as a medic, not a trained medic, but just helping out, giving shots and administering things to needy patients and things like that. But so I'm not the son of a veteran that, you know, this kind of shaped our thinking and military and all that. But, you know, I know enough about armed forces, and I often talk with soldiers that have been deployed to Iran and Afghanistan while I'm flying. I'll run into them and always ask them questions and talk. And those of you that served in the military, you knew that you were potentially taking your life in your hands. You knew that this was not a game. You know, we think of violent sports like boxing or mixed martial arts, and they can be bloody and gory. And in rare occasions, they can even result in death. But when you're talking being in war, physical warfare, death is a very real option. Death is a daily possibility in many parts of the world. And it's basically kill or be killed, sometimes for good cause, sometimes for no good reason at all. But there's a certain sense of courage and sacrifice and obedience to authority that comes it comes with the turf of being a soldier, being in the military. And Leonard Ravenhill, a great champion of revival in the last generation, author of the the classic book, Why Revival Tarries, and a man who I had the privilege of being a close personal friend with the last 5 years of his life. Leonard Ravenhill wrote this: when a nation calls its prime men to battle, homes are broken, weeping sweethearts say their goodbyes, businesses are closed, college careers are wrecked, factories are refitted for wartime production, rationing and discomforts are accepted, all for war. Then Ravenhill asked this: can we do less for the greatest fight that this world has ever known outside of the cross, this end-time siege on sanity, morality, and spirituality? You think of the hardships that war brings about. You think of how families are broken up. You think of how a mom kisses her husband goodbye, and he kisses his one-year-old baby goodbye and hugs the family and cries and leaves. He may not come back, and that's just for earthly war. And some of you that I'm talking to, family members, have made that ultimate sacrifice for our country. And especially when you're thinking of say, World War II, where there was so much more of a hero's welcome for our troops coming back than, say, coming back from Vietnam War or Iraq or Afghanistan, where often there's mixed public opinion or people hostile to the war effort. We realize the courage, the sacrifice, and the saying war is hell. Again, I'm not a firsthand participant. I can't speak about it on those terms. But when I read the accounts, when I talk to the people, it's extraordinary to me what they have gone through, how they have suffered for this world. What about the ultimate spiritual battle? What about things that transcend anything in this world because they are eternal? What about the souls of men and women for whom Jesus died? What should be our level of courage, of sacrifice, of willingness to give ourselves for a cause? By the way, because it's Memorial Day, because this is a day when most talk radio is pre-recorded, I'm going to open the phone lines for those that may be listening that don't normally listen to the Line of Fire, where we seek to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity and bring your kingdom perspective on what's happening in the world, in the news, in the church. I'm going to open the phones and, time permitting, take some calls on a wide variety of subjects. So if you miss calling in on the end of the week when we do, you've got questions, we've got answers, and there's something you just want to talk to me about, you want to ask me about, related to the Line of Fire, related to our areas of expertise, I'm going to see if I can take some calls as well on random subjects. So 866-34-TRUTH. Number to call. I wrote something called the Jesus Manifesto. You can get a copy of it free online at askdrbrown.org. Just do a search for it, Jesus Manifesto, in our online resources. I talk about the need to have a revolutionary mentality, meaning whatever it takes, whatever the cost or consequences, we're going to follow Jesus and give ourselves to the Great Commission, to the gospel. And in the Jesus Manifesto, I wrote this: Satan's strategy is to institutionalize the church, to turn the body of Christ into a powerless religious system. If that tactic fails, he tries to desensitize us and lull us to sleep until we lose our convictions and our sense of outrage is gone. And he's always seeking to seduce us into sin until we become just like the world, enslaved by its passions and lusts. And when he thinks he has succeeded, when he no longer feels threatened by the people of God, then he gets aggressive and brazenly puts forth his agenda. He's doing it today. We need a revolution. I wrote that 10 years ago. All the more is it true today. The cat is out of the bag. The secret is no longer a secret. Anti-God forces are after the soul of our nation. If we don't wake up now, if we don't take a stand now, if we don't repent and pray and rise and speak and act now, then instead of this great country being the land of the free and the home of the brave, our nation could become the land of sleaze and the home of depraved. We need a revolution. We come back. I want to share some quotes with you from other authors and some reflections I have in terms of the life of a soldier and how it compares to our lives as followers of Jesus. Some years ago, A.W. Tozer lamented that this world is a playground rather than a battleground, has been concluded by the vast majority of fundamentalist Christians. And I would dare say that in a lot of the preaching from our pulpits and a lot of the best-selling books that are out there, It's more playground Christianity, have fun, have a good time, than battleground Christianity. Namely, we're in a war, we're in a battle, and we need to give ourselves to the cause to glorify Jesus and to oppose Satan and his forces. Sounds militant? Hey, it is, but it's the militant way of love and sacrifice. 866-34-TRUTH. We will be back right after the break with some quotes you do not want to miss. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming away live this Memorial Day. I know talk radio is normally pre-recorded or repeat shows on Memorial Day, but I'm in town. I'm in the studio. So here we are coming away live, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or email me directly at Dr. Brown. That's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. I am doing some Memorial Day reflecting on the courage, the sacrifice of soldiers for an earthly cause. And hopefully wars that we're fighting in are good causes. And how that compares to our calling to follow Jesus. Again, making very clear, I'm not talking about being soldiers of the cross where we take up arms against our enemies, which is 100% contrary to the spirit of the gospel. But rather the call to courage, sacrifice, hardship, endurance, obedience of a soldier. How does that parallel with our lives in God? But because this is kind of a bonus day, becoming your way live, I am also taking calls on random subjects, 866-34-TRUTH. So I'll try to get to a few calls as well today. Let me share a few quotes with you. John Hyde said this. John Hyde, known as Praying Hyde, one of the most devoted men to God whose life I've ever studied, gave himself as a missionary to India at the turn of the last century. And think of being a missionary, a soul winner. He got to the point where he led four people to Jesus every day. He made a covenant with God asking him for four souls a day, and he'd lead these people to the Lord. They'd be on their knees in the streets repenting. When he first got there, the mission he worked with could go one entire year without seeing a single person saved. 1 year for all the missionaries. And yet through his prayer life and crying out to God and sacrifice, he ended up seeing four people coming to faith, genuine faith in Jesus every day. And yet, think of being a soul winner, missionary like that, and yet you are best known as a man of prayer. John Hyde's prayer example is absolutely startling. And Hyde said this, "I know but one word, obedience. I know how a soldier will obey an order even to death, and I can't expect to look Jesus Christ in the face and obey him less than a soldier his commander." Isn't that telling it just like it is? You know, today's gospel, which I always critique as it's an all-about-me gospel, and it's really not a gospel message. It's defective, deficient, when it's how you can have a bigger and better life through Jesus. You say, well, he said he came to give us abundant life. Well, it's an abundant life with persecution, opposition, rejection, sacrifice for the gospel, but one filled with God and his presence and love and joy and grace. But it's not how I can accumulate more things by following Jesus and how through my faith in him I can get more. It should be how through my faith in him I can give more. But you think of the calling to be a soldier, and then you ask yourself, do you live with that consciousness that we are called into battle? Do you live with the consciousness? 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Friends, we are in the midst of a real life and death struggle. It's the truth. And we need to wake up to reality. It's not just having fun. It's not just being blessed. There is a war. 866-34-TRUTH. one of my favorite quotes, quoted often to our students at Fire School of Ministry, where, by the way, we train people. We train people to go out and make a difference. We train people to lay their lives down for the gospel. We train people to be witnesses for Jesus at any cost or consequence. That's just basic gospel, isn't it? James B. Taylor said this: the world may frown, Satan may rage, but go on. Live for God. May I die in the field of battle. Wow. Can I read that to you again on this Memorial Day? The world may frown, Satan may rage, but go on. Live for God. May I die in the field of battle. How about William Gurnall, great Puritan author, famous for the Christian in complete armor? Let the devil choose his way. God is a match for him at every weapon. The devil and his whole council are but fools to God, nay, their wisdom foolishness. D.L. Moody, what a difference in the men who go into battle intending to conquer if they can, and those who go into battle intending to conquer. C.H. McIntosh, a coward heart will not do for the day of battle. A doubting spirit will not stand in conflict. Hudson Taylor, we are a supernatural people born again by a supernatural birth. We wage a supernatural fight and are taught by a supernatural teacher, led by a supernatural captain to assure victory. By the way, those last four quotes or so, four or five, were taken from my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. We reprinted that together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and there is a special resource offer on our website where you can get several of these books at a great discount. So go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You can get more info on that. I've got a bunch more Memorial Day reflections and some of my own quotes I want to share with you, but let me grab a call while we have a couple of minutes here. Rob in Baltimore, Maryland, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I don't know if you remember me, but we met down in Charlotte with the gathering, Wade McCart. I wanted to just say thank you for what you're doing. And also, you know, I agree so much. So much of this just resonates. And, you know, Hebrews 12 just says it so well, you know, that we haven't sacrificed to the point of giving our own blood. And, you know, one of the things that impacted me so much after viewing the Passion of the Christ, and I often share a video as I give my testimony, that is V. De La Rosa to those photos of that video, and realizing after what, you know, my King has done for me, how can I possibly give anything less? But a question I do have for you that is sort of related to this. I've shared, as we all know, there's all these polls on Facebook, and I don't really get into that a whole lot. However, there was one on there that asked, do you think that they should lift the ban on the don't tell, you know,
don't ask, don't tell.
Uh-huh. Tell policy, right? And I believe that we are wanting people to come out and be honest so that we can speak truth to them. How can we speak truth and encourage that if we're encouraging them to stay hidden? And while, you know, I have a young lady who is not my daughter by blood, but she is my daughter to me from a relationship where I grew up.
Hey, tell you what, we just got a few seconds before the break. So,
what is your view on that? I felt that yes, we do want them to come out. The question isn't whether they should or shouldn't, sir. What is your view on that?
Yeah, got it. Hey, Rob, on the other side of the break, I'll answer that. I was thinking about addressing that today since it is Memorial Day. So on the other side of the break, I will answer that. So keep listening. Great. We'll get back to it. I appreciate the call very much, Rob. God bless you. And thanks also for the gracious words. All right. What about don't ask, don't tell the military? President Obama's administration is pushing hard to have that repealed. Is that a good idea? And by the way, feel free to weigh in on that. Should we repeal don't ask, don't tell? We'll be back on this Memorial Day. Hey, thanks for joining us on this Memorial Day. Michael Brown actually coming your way live. This is not pre-recorded. This is not specially recorded for today. This is not a repeat broadcast. I thought I'd come your way live, even though it's a day of schedule change. So if you are listening for the first time to the Line of Fire, welcome. We come your way live the same time every day. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've been sharing some Memorial Day reflections, thinking of the sacrifice and courage of soldiers, and discussing what our posture should be as servants of the Lord, as soldiers, not in the military, physically violent sense, but in the spiritual sense, soldiers of Jesus. I wrote this down in Finland when I was ministering there in October of 95. What is the guaranteed way to lose the battle for the gospel? Retreat. That is why so many believers are defeated. They retreat from conflict and confrontation. But the guaranteed way to victory is just as simple. Attack. We have the enemy totally outmanned and outgunned. Retreat spells defeat. Defiance spells triumph. Again, we're talking all in spiritual terms here, not in physical terms. Before I go back to the phones, I was asked before the break by Rob from Baltimore, Maryland, what's my view on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is a policy, military policy that was instituted by President Clinton. And before that, there's a simple ban on homosexuals serving in the military. So it was known to be homosexual. They couldn't serve. So President Clinton instituted instead Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is we won't ask you, but you don't tell. You don't bring it up. If you bring it up, you're out. Now, first, let me say, as I always do when I address this, I appreciate the fact that there are gays and lesbians that want to serve in our military. That's meaningful to me. They want to fight for our country, even though many of them feel that they don't have, quote, equal rights here, or they don't have the, quote, right to marry, or they're still discriminated against. They want to fight in our military. I think that's very positive. I appreciate that. And I'm sure that there are homosexual men and women that have sacrificed and been courageous in battle and kept their sexual orientation quiet and died in battle. And I appreciate their sacrifice, their service, the same as anyone else. The question is, should we repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which the Obama administration, some members of Congress are pushing for? I have real misgivings about repealing it and saying serve openly. Why? I'm fully aware that countries like Israel and England and others, Israel known to have one of the top militaries in the world. By the way, tomorrow we'll be talking about on the air what happened in the waters off Gaza and the conflict, armed conflict between Israel and activists on boats that were coming in, resulting in casualties. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But other fine militaries, armies, others have homosexuals serving openly and say it's not the least problem. It is not a problem whatsoever. I've talked to military men and women while flying and asked their views, and some are perfectly fine with it. Doesn't matter to them. They're not hurting me. Others are uncomfortable with it. What's the issue? Well, a recent report by Peter Sprigg for Family Research Council, which we'll get a link up for you in a little while, he said that percentage-wise, there is a much higher number of sexual assaults among homosexuals than heterosexuals in the military. Now, again, this is based on official reports that he analyzed. That would be a point of concern, but the bigger point of concern is that there should not be a special right to a homosexual orientation, which now is going to create pressure on other heterosexuals. How do I mean that? Well, you separate men and women. You don't shower together. You don't sleep in close quarters together. You don't give yourselves to situations, life and death, side by side that could develop romantic attraction, things like that. Whereas it's just wisdom. So you don't do it with heterosexuals. So what are you going to do now with homosexuals? Do you now have to have separation, different rules? You say, well, they're serving anyway, right? But they're not serving openly. Again, this is somewhat complex, and I do appreciate very much the patriotism of gays and lesbians who want to serve in our military, but I see no good reason to repeal it and every good reason to keep things where they are. And again, to specially sanction something, a practice or a lifestyle or a mentality, and say, okay, this is now openly accepted in the military, that presents problems for me. Maybe we'll do a whole show on it. We'll get some military folks and get their take both ways. I'll post a couple of articles opposing it so you can read and evaluate. Let me grab another call. Eric in Boston, Massachusetts. Nice to hear from you, man.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How about you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I got a kind of random question for you.
That's all right. Today's a good day for random questions.
Okay, good. All right, so in Genesis 7, God tells Noah to take seven of every clean animal and two of every unclean animal. And I'm just curious how Noah knew what was a clean animal and what was an unclean animal if the law wasn't given yet.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Eric, and it's very relevant because if it referred to some universal principle even before the law, then does that still apply to us today?
Yeah, exactly.
Does it have meaning? So, so thanks for it. It's a good random question. So a couple of things. The Hebrew does not use the standard words for clean and unclean, which are tahor and tameh. It uses the word for clean and not clean. So it's different terminology, same word for clean, but a different word for unclean, which is striking, would make you think that it's different categories. And what some have argued was that there were some animals that in the culture, the world that was understood, were acceptable for sacrifice, and some animals which were not acceptable for sacrifice. That's why he had to bring seven of the one and only one pair of the other, because some of these animals, these clean animals, would be sacrificed. So it may not exactly parallel the dietary laws. It may simply have had to do with laws of sacrifice. So okay. Noah must have known something, either the culture of the day or information that Noah had from God as to what was acceptable for sacrifice and what was not acceptable for sacrifice. But it doesn't seem to be, because it doesn't use the identical words. It uses one same word and one different term. It doesn't seem to be pointing to the fact that there were dietary laws before the flood. Here's the other evidence. It's only in Genesis 9 that God says you can eat meat. Before then, the only word that we had was that you could eat plant life. So it would seem that before the flood, the human race, whether they practiced it or not, it's another issue, but was required to be vegetarian, or that's the command. If you look in Genesis 1, it's every seed-bearing plant, etc., fruits, those are the things you can eat. Then when you get to Genesis 9, you have that, plus you can eat animals, and it doesn't say there you can only eat clean animals. So it doesn't seem to be related to dietary laws. And then more importantly, the principles that Jesus gives us in the New Testament indicate that nothing that we eat can make us spiritually unclean. It's what comes out of our heart that makes us spiritually unclean. So I have Jewish believing friends that prefer not to eat foods that the Bible call unclean just for solidarity with the people of Israel. But maybe they'll go and minister on a missions trip and be among pagan people serving pork. They'll sit down and eat that for the sake of the gospel because they realize that that's not what defiles. Hey, up against a break. Listen, even though you're from Boston, I'm still a Yankee fan, man. Just wanted to say that.
Okay.
But God bless you and have a blessed Memorial Day.
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks.
Too.
All right. We come back, Isaiah in Des Moines, Iowa. You'll be first up, and we'll give you some more reflections, some more quotes on the special Memorial Day broadcast. Stay with us. For joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, delighted to be with you live this Memorial Day as we recognize, commemorate, appreciate the sacrifices of our military men and women for our freedoms. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You know, look, it'd be wonderful to not have war. It would be wonderful to not need to spend all this money on weapons and military. And the Bible speaks of the day when swords will be turned into plowshares, where the military weaponry will no longer be needed. Think of all the poor that could be fed, all the underprivileged that could be helped if we didn't build nuclear bombs and all kinds of exotic weapons. Unfortunately, in this world with fallen humanity, if we're not building those weapons, someone's going to be killing our people. Instead of having underprivileged people, you'll have dead people. That's why we long for the day when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. And until then, we sacrifice our own well-being for the good of this dying, suffering world. We're also taking some random calls today. I've got a few more quotes I want to share with you. By the way, suffice it to say that a recent report saying that there would be more homosexual assaults if Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed in the military, of course, that's getting howls of criticism. And I may put a link up that gives you the report by Peter Sprigg, and then people attacking it going back and forth. You can just check out the links, evaluate them for yourself. The one thing I feel convinced of is this is a decision military officials need to make without being under pressure, and this is not a decision for Congress. That's my view. All right, Isaiah in Des Moines, Iowa, thanks for calling today.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. You don't sound like you were born in Des Moines, Iowa.
I'm from Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that a lot. People think I'm from Brooklyn, New York, or New Jersey.
Yeah, especially just that opening words there. What's on your mind, Isaiah?
Well, I actually don't have a question, more of a wondering on your intake on something, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I was listening to you on the radio, and you were starting to talk about our servitude with God and how God is calling us to serve him, to be, you know, in his spiritual army, so to speak, to fight Satan and his dark forces of hell, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I remembered something that I wrote called The Armies of God, and I was wondering if I could read that to you to see what you thought about it.
Sure. How long is it?
It's like a minute.
Go for it.
It's, brothers and sisters, our world is fading, torn apart to the brink of destruction. Satan has gathered his armies to bring us down, not caring about us, but only to keep us from our king. God is fading from our hearts, and we have lost the ability to fight. God is calling forth his armies. Who will answer the call? Who among you, with me, with our king, will rise above the masses and smite our enemy? Are you that afraid of this world, afraid to lose your jobs or even your life? Do you not trust our God, our King? Without faith, God cannot move. Faith moves God, and sin moves Satan. There is way too much sin in our world. That's why our world is in so much turmoil. Together we must stand. Together we must answer the call as one body, one mind, one heart, one spirit, one Christ, one Father, one God. This world must know its sin. This world is crying out, bleeding out, torn apart because of our ways. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and God is calling forth his people. Who will stand? Who among you, with Christ, with me, who will be in the armies of God?
Hey, Isaiah, amen. Right on. It's biblical mentality. As long as we understand the armies we're talking about, the battle we're talking about is a spiritual one.
Right.
You're absolutely right, sir. It's life and death. It's the ultimate struggle. It's the ultimate war. And that's why the verse I started the show with, Paul wrote to Timothy, endure hardship with us as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. And that's why the call to self-sacrifice, the call not to love our lives even to the point of death, the call to glorify Jesus, whether by life or by death, that's just basic gospel. And, right. You know, our American, what's in it for me, pop, pep gospel, you know, just how to be bigger and better through Jesus misses the whole point. People are being destroyed by the devil. As we talk here, thousands of people are being destroyed, ripped off by demonic forces. And the message of Jesus is the answer, and we are the ones that have to bring it. Hey, Isaiah, stay on the line. Do you have my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War?
No.
All right, stay on the line, and I want you to give our producer your address. I will send you a free copy of that. And friends, it's a battle. What Isaiah said is just basic truth from the scriptures. It's a life and death struggle. Are we going to stand? Are we going to do what's right? Are we going to glorify Jesus? I've got some good quotes to share with you when we come back on this Memorial Day. Stay with us. Hey friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. We're coming away live this Memorial Day. Decided not to do a pre-recorded show. So I may have time for one more call, 866-34-TRUTH. Susan, North Carolina, stay on the line. Try to get you in a moment. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about something stirring up world controversy, Israel. And was this an attack on innocent peace activists trying to bring humanitarian aid into Gaza? Was this something that was planned to try to make Israel look bad and produce casualties? We'll talk about it tomorrow. Also, we begin live on KVCE 1160 AM in Dallas, Texas tomorrow. Help us get the word out. Here's something I jotted down in my journal. August 24th, 1995. Nobody wants pain. No one welcomes tears, but we need them both. Otherwise, we become hard or fat and superficial, caught up with the nonsense of this world as if this stuff really mattered. A broken, mourning heart is not just good preparation for hard times and judgments to come. It has a cathartic effect. It purges the soul from folly. It reveals reality. It shows what really matters. It exposes the shallow for what it is. So let the tears come. They will wash away the temporal and leave the eternal. And then I note this in my journal, February 23rd, 1996, when I was ministering in India. There's one last secret to overcoming the devil that most Americans don't want to learn, Revelation 12, 11. It's the key to victory and freedom. It breaks the devil's back. It has nothing to do with, he has nothing with which to threaten you, nothing to take from you. His power is the fear of death. Give yourself to God, even to the point of death, and you break Satan's power. Susan in North Carolina, thanks for calling. We're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Okay. Excuse me. I appreciate what that gentleman wrote because he is so right. If you look back about what the Bible says, you know, war began in heaven with Satan, you know, trying to be above God. So he was cast from heaven, and Satan had, you know, a third of his angels to fall with him. Then you know, you get Satan on earth with us to tempt Adam and Eve, and then they fall, you know. So that was kind of like a war, set up for a war, to get them to fall. And then you have Cain killing Abel. After that, you have Abraham, and then, you know, Ishmael's born. He's the wild man, considered the Muslim. And then Isaac's considered the Hebrews. Well, then they're fighting, you know. The Muslims and fighting the Jews over in Israel. And did it break out over there? I mean, did most of the wars begin over there, like in Israel? Did it spread out from that is what my main question is.
Ultimately, it goes, if you go all the way back, it's the conflict between God and Satan, which then comes into this world and the fall of the human race. So, it all goes back to that. You're absolutely right. But as far as all world conflicts, I don't believe you can trace them all back to the Middle East spreading from there. Because wherever you had human beings, unfortunately, we've had war and conflict. And isn't it a shame, Susan, that that while we're commemorating, we are here commemorating the sacrifice of our men and women for our nation, that the sacrifice they made was also often to kill enemy on the other side, leaving mourning parents and friends and relatives. It's war is just miserable, and war is painful. It's necessary in this world, but it's painful, and that's why we long for the day when Jesus will return, set up his kingdom on the earth. There'll be no more war, no more pain, no more killing each other, no more hatred, no more hostility, but the glory and the knowledge and the revelation of God will fill the earth and cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. That's what we long for. That's what we labor for. That's why we give ourselves unconditionally to make Jesus known, that this world may be filled with the goodness and knowledge of God on that day. Friends, you have a blessed day. All those who served, sacrificed for our nation, thank you. And may you come to know the Lord in a way beyond anything you have ever known before. Join us tomorrow. We'll be back.